This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, that's right. We all woke up early for this because we are so dedicated to the craft that is 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast.
Well done. And some of us woke up earlier than others.
I think I was the first one up here this morning. I just want to preface that by saying. But anyways, I'm Lydia Perner. I'm joined alongside by Nicholas Palmer.
Hi.
And Sophia Smith. And as Nick would say, we have Gabby Price between the pipes.
That's his new
producer thing. Yeah. So
if you don't like it, you don't have to.
That was one of your better inventions of the last however long I've known you. But anyways, this is our finals edition week of 5-on-3. There's a lot to talk about within the Tri-State area with our teams. We'll also, before we get into that, unpack some of the general NHL news. We'll talk about the headlines out of Ottawa and Colorado and Anaheim, because Jacob Trouba is no longer Rangers news. He is now Ducks news. So we'll throw that in the general NHL segment. But before we get into this, I'm going to ask you guys the question that I just thought of. So I hope you're ready to think of something on the spot. I always do this. So this is the question of the day. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's almost Christmas, right? Or whatever holidays you celebrate. Hanukkah's coming up too.
Yeah.
What's your one wish list for your hockey team that you want under your Christmas tree or as a gift for Hanukkah? And I'm not talking about like a player. Like you, it's something like
intangible.
Yes. What is your hockey wish list for your team? So you can do the Islanders or
is,
the Kings.
Is it a wish list or is it one wish?
A wish list item. So it's the same thing.
So I get one wish.
Yeah.
So it's not like a genie where I get three. I only get one.
No, you get one.
And you're just putting me on the spot here?
Of course.
I'd like to see Isaiah George turn it around.
I like that.
He had a really rough night last night, and Patrick Waugh said he's going to talk to him this morning, which is so ominous,
that
by the way.
Does that mean he's getting scratched or
something?
Dude,
he turned over the puck three times in the defensive zone, giving the Kings three breakaways, and Sorokin saved all three of them acrobatically. And they asked him after the game, they were like, so dude, Isaiah George, what was that? And he was like, look, he's a rookie. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow morning. So my wish is that Wall wasn't too hard on Isaiah George and that he will come out of this a better hockey player.
Well, we'll get more into this in the Islanders segment, but can he go back to the OHL? Do you know? Or is he eligible for that? Or is it like an AHL type of situation?
No, it's AHL.
Okay.
It's AHL.
It's not the OHL. All right, what about you, Sophia?
I would say, I could say a lot about the Rangers, but I think that I'm going to segue to the Four Nations face-off, because they said they announced that like the roster and Chris Kreider is
go
on
Canada,
Team
Canada.
USA.
And yeah, maybe he can win a game over there.
No, what I'm like, my ideal scenario is they play Team Canada in the finals and they go to overtime and then
Canada wins.
No, and Chris Kreider scores the overtime goal and everyone realizes that he's actually amazing and they give him the credit that he deserves.
I don't think anyone's discrediting him. I mean, Kreider's a great player. He is on the trade block. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Anyways, my wishes item is that Mika Zibanejad is no longer on my hockey team. Plain and simple. I don't want him here anymore. Anyways, on that note, let's get into some general NHL news. I think there was a lot of big weird news this week. We'll start with the Georgiev trade.
Okay.
So Georgiev was traded to the San Jose Sharks for in exchange for former Devils goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood, and there was a couple other picks in there, 2027 draft pick. So yeah, it was, I guess, not necessarily surprising. Georgiev's been terrible in the past 2 years at least for Colorado. He needs a change of scenery badly. I think for him, like, I remember when he was on the Rangers, he's just totally, like, he's one of those guys that when he gets in his head, he, like, can't get out of his head, and that just totally reflects his play on the ice.
Yeah.
So I think a change of scenery will be good for him and to the San Jose Sharks, where there's literally no pressure on the players.
Yeah, I also hope that it helps the Avs, because they haven't really met expectations, and I think that getting Georgiev out is going to help them. Like, Blackwood is a decent goalie, I think. So I'm really hoping that they can bounce back.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I mean, the signing of Georgiev by the Colorado Avalanche was just a function of not having enough cap room to sign an elite goaltender. So it was kind of like, well, we have all these stars on, like, we, like, as skaters, and we don't have the cap room for a goaltender. So you sign Georgiev, and then he's just so inconsistent, like, ridiculously inconsistent.
Because he'll be nail some games, right, and have, like, post a shutout, 45 shots against, and then let in. Like, I remember that one playoff game versus Winnipeg last year, and Hellebuck was terrible on the other end, too, but it was, like, just a shootout. There was so many goals.
But that's the thing, right, is Blackwood, well, you might say, sure, he's more consistent. He's also, he doesn't have the, like, upside that Georgiev has. He's a worse goaltender.
Yes.
But on average, he will put up ridiculous, he won't give you a crooked number.
But hopefully, like, the Avs forwards can just make up for that.
Right. So that's why I think they went for that, is just so that they won't have these clunkers where the Avs forwards just get screwed by their goaltender. Yeah. That said, for the Sharks, I don't know. Like, they're in a rebuild, so why not?
Yeah.
You know? Like, you started playing some good hockey. What if Georgiev just turns it on in San Jose where the pressure's off, and then you have Macklin just sort of tear it up? And
the Sharks are so fun right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they were on a pretty good run. I mean, they haven't really won recently, like, in their past few games, I'm pretty sure.
We need Trey Rodriguez on this podcast again.
Our lone Sharks fan. Yeah. Well, Georgiev, in 18 games played this season, he's 8-7, so he's not terrible. That's a better record than Igor has. It's a winning record. But he also has an .874 save percentage, so...
Neither of them are playing very inspiring hockey.
Yeah, so end of an era in Colorado there for Alexander Georgiev. We'll see how he does in San Jose. Again, I think he'll be much better in San Jose with the pressure taken off of him. But let's head up to Canada, shall we? So there was a weird fiasco between... I didn't want to throw this in the Rangers segment because I really didn't think it was, like, related to the Rangers. Brady Tkachuk, the Senators' captain and one of the only consistent guys year in, year out for the Senators. I don't know where his future lies with the team, and that was the reports this week that it's Brady might not want to be on a losing team for much longer. The Senators haven't done much since Brady's come to the league, and so Larry Brooks, our trusted New York Post reporter, you know, kind of wrote an article about that, and then the Senators' owners came out and said that it was, what, tampering or something, and they want the league to investigate.
Yes, all because soft tampering. Shut up.
So, I mean, I don't... If you're Brady Tkachuk, do you even want to stay in Ottawa much longer?
Yeah, but, like, also, I don't know. Like,
we've been saying Ottawa has a bright future for years now, and I haven't seen that bright future come around.
Yeah, I think that he needs a change, because... Clearly, he's not really doing much as a captain, like, and so maybe it's just, it'll help the team, and it'll help him, I think, because he's so good, and I think that he deserves to get out of there.
I mean, really, I don't hate to say this, Buffalo and Ottawa are pretty close to one and the same, just in the way that it's been an arduous rebuild for both of them, and the light at the end of the tunnel just seems to be getting farther and farther away. More so for Buffalo, I would say, than Ottawa. Ottawa, I think, has the ability and has shown through stretches of the season that they can win games. Buffalo, I mean, they'll win two and then they'll just drop seven. Poor Brady Tkachuk, man. They have the pieces this year, dude. Linus Ullmark is their goaltender.
Yeah.
He's not even playing well.
No, because he's in Ottawa.
I think Ottawa is just, like, where players go to just their career.
It sucks the soul out of you, man.
Yeah. Which stinks, because Ottawa actually has a somewhat core group of passionate fans.
I know.
Fans. Yeah.
That's the problem, is, like, with Ottawa, there's at least, like, a hope of winning. Yeah. When you're in Buffalo, like,
there's no
you don't have
That's
to.
For the Bills.
Yeah.
So.
So let's get Brady out of there.
Yeah, I also think Brady Tkachuk is a terrible captain. He's too passionate of a player to be the captain, and I think that that's come under a lens this season, because, he'll be a guy that will just go out there and take a two-minute instigator penalty and get in a fight. And people and Sens fans are like, this is our captain. You can't be going and doing that. But I think that's playing the game the right way. I don't know. I don't see I don't think the situation is as urgent as some people think it is, especially Rangers fans, but I can't see Brady signing long term in Ottawa, and I think his days are numbered in Ottawa. But the last thing for the general NHL, Trouba made his debut with the Ducks, actually played really well. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him enter the blue line like that before and just like skate it through. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, because he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, but we'll get further into that in the Rangers segment. But yeah, Anaheim takes on all $8 million in that. So I hope for the best for Jacob Trouba. And I don't know
right why. After dunking on him for nearly a year.
That's not true. I bought a Jacob Trouba Stadium Series jersey a year ago.
Wow,
that's your fault.
Yeah, it is my fault. But like, I'm just showing. I never hated Jacob Trouba.
No, I think he's a really great person.
Great guy.
I don't love his style of play, but
I just think he was overpaid. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
He's an asset for the Ducks. The Ducks could flip him at the deadline with salary retention to a contender who needs like a tough fifth defenseman. He's that guy. You just can't have him making $8 million on a team that's cap strapped. But anyways, again, we'll get further into that. For our local teams, we'll start with the New Jersey Devils, who lost in overtime. Austin Matthews breakaway.
The Leafs are good.
Yeah.
The Leafs are a good team.
Yes.
Mitch Marner.
The Devils actually played well last night.
Yeah,
though.
They did.
That's the thing. It was a 2-1 game.
And they were dominating in shots the entire game.
Yeah.
And so I was really shocked when I saw that they lost.
I think after the first period, there was like a crazy stat. Like, I think Toronto only had one shot on goal. And
Didn't they only have 12 shots total? Or was that the game before for Toronto? There was one game recently that Toronto only had 12 shots and they won.
You know when they're like, let's play a game of guess who won this game just based on shots on goal.
Yeah.
It's like Toronto won.
They had 16 shots last night. The Leafs.
They had 16?
Yeah. Quality
last night?
Over
what is
quantity.
Going on? Dude, that's not good. That's not, like, that's bad.
The Rangers had like 30 shots against the Blackhawks. Same score.
But shots do equal goals. Like, that's the thing. People who don't think that in hockey,
that's a very Patrick Waugh thing to say.
It's not a Patrick
Waugh thing. I feel
Waugh
like there's so
say.
Many interviews with him out there being like, our shots are going to fall. We just got to keep shooting.
That's not going to work in playoff hockey.
No.
No, it's not.
But the Devils are...
And the Leafs need playoff hockey more than anything else.
The Devils are a substantially better team than they were last season, but I think Devils fans are totally like blowing out of proportion how good their season has been so far. They've been the benefactor of having so many more games played than every other team, and that is what is being reflected in the standings.
Okay, Tucker has been very good about acknowledging the fact that the Devils have played more games than other
teams. Tucker was actually surprisingly nice after that terrible game between the Devils and
Tucker's
the Rangers.
Just a nice guy, though.
Great
That's,
guy. Yeah.
He doesn't get as salty as we do.
The Capitals aren't first place in the Metro.
And they've played the same amount of games as the Rangers. Like, it's crazy.
I just gagged. I just gagged a little bit.
Yeah.
Are they actually?
Yeah, and the Flyers are ahead of the Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers are out of a playoff spot, so...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the Devils objectively only have 4 more wins than the Rangers. But you'd think, the way Devils fans are talking, that they are just, like, this running away with the President's Trophy. And maybe I'm just a hater. No, I am just a hater.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
They're definitely better than they were last year. I'll give them that.
Yeah, but they underperformed last year and were just so injured.
Yeah.
And... I don't know, getting those guys back I think it's far from where the Devils need to be at, because I objectively, if you like look at their lines, they're a good team, and you're never going to hear anyone like objectively say they're a bad team.
No.
They've been on a tough stretch the past 2 games. They got shut out by Colorado. But again, when Colorado plays good, they're a good team.
Yeah.
But that was at the Prudential Center, so not necessarily want the performance you want to be putting up against your home fans.
How about the Max Patch
hit on
Jack
Hughes.
Hughes
last night? What did that end up getting? No penalty.
No,
right?
It was clean.
Good.
It was
good.
Clean.
That was like at best a 2-minute minor for like interference, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you see that last night?
I saw it on my timeline, but I didn't click on it because I wasn't interested.
No, that was a great hit. That was, I don't want to say vintage Max Patch ready because he's never been.
He's
like, a tough
kind
guy.
Of a jerk.
Really?
On the ice.
I was a fan of him on the Canadiens.
I know, but a lot of people don't like him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because he's been, like, I don't know, apparently people say he's dirty. He plays dirty.
Max Pacioretty? I feel like if you were talking about Sidney Crosby, that'd be okay. Because, like, Sidney Crosby's secretly a dirty... That is, oh my goodness. Sidney Crosby's secretly a dirty player.
Sidney Crosby, look, I don't like the Penguins. He's I have so much respect.
Yeah,
so do I.
Oh,
so do I. I used to have a Sidney Crosby calendar in my bedroom.
Oh my gosh, really?
I'm dead serious.
You just admitted that,
I know.
Dude. I'm gonna clip that after.
I was in like sixth grade. Sid the Kid, I loved him back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah. The Devils' last win was on Friday against the Kraken. They won that one 3-2.
I know. They're a team that can actually beat the Kraken.
And then they play the Kings tomorrow.
They do play the Kings tomorrow.
Yeah. Kings are making their Eastern road
trip. I haven't decided if that's the one I'll be going to or if the Rangers one will be the one I'm going to. Because
why
going
not
to,
both?
Because going to the Rock is significantly less expensive than going to the Garden. Like by a lot.
Yeah.
You probably have a better chance of seeing the Kings win if you go to MSG.
Hey, we beat
the Kings
are
on a 6-game tear.
Yeah, they're
gonna tear.
Last
year,
the Kings were on a crazy win streak, and then the Islanders and Rangers like ended their Linsanity run.
Yeah, but the Islanders didn't do it.
Yes, they did in overtime.
No, this year.
Oh, not this year. Well, that's because both our teams stink.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are your preview of that game? Kings Devils.
Kings Devils.
Yeah. Who are my
what to watch for?
Yes.
I'm looking for the Kings power play to continue to excel. It's never been their calling card, but over this 6-game span, they've been fantastic. A lot of that has to do with Laferriere. He's a beast out there, and Kevin Fiala is on a different level.
Does Brent Clark play the power play?
Two.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But Clarkie's been great.
Love
also.
That guy.
He's awesome. There's so much energy around this team, and you can feel it. But the style that they play is very hard-nosed. It's very secure, but it's not the stupid like 1-3-1 they were playing last year that got them nowhere. This Jim Hiller organization, it's an aggressive sort of hard-nosed team. And Kopitar's vintage Kopitar this year. Everything's working. For the Devils... don't make mistakes. The Kings forecheck is what they really excel at. And I worry about this Devils team making mistakes, especially like Hughes.
Luke Hughes is his breakouts look like something that should be on the Rangers.
I know. And watching what happened to Isaiah George last night, I wouldn't be shocked if the same thing happens to Luke Hughes tomorrow night.
I thought you were talking about it in terms of like him getting scratched. I was like, Luke Hughes is never getting scratched.
No,
that's
no,
the Devils'
no, no.
golden boy.
No, just
the brother of the golden boy. Sorry,
giving away the puck in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
So those are my what to watch for. My prediction is a 4-2 Kings victory.
Like with an empty netter?
No.
No. Okay. Just straight up 4-2. Yeah. All right. What's your prediction for that game tomorrow?
I think that he's right. I think that the Kings are going to come out strong and they're going to play hard. And I think that the Devils are going to put up a fight, but I think that the Kings will come out with a victory.
Yeah, I'm going to take like a 3-1 Kings win.
Yeah,
I just think they, like you said, they're a very almost like shut down, like, you know, like the vintage, like boring style hockey. But if you're a fan of the sport, like it's not boring, like clog the neutral zone, almost like make it hard to get in. Like deep into their zone.
Yeah,
I think
if you force teams to make mistakes, they'll make mistakes.
Which is like the Devils' bread and butter is skill.
Yeah.
So which is like means it's so easy for them to make a mistake.
Exactly.
And once one, it's like when it rains, it pours. Once
and it's
one mistake
kids
happens,
with skill. It's not veterans with skill.
Yeah.
Which is a whole different thing.
Yeah. So I think we're all taking Devils for one reason or another. But yeah, that game will be tomorrow at 7 at the Prudential Center. But the Kings played the Islanders last night.
They did.
And they won.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Nick, you're an Islanders beat reporter. What?
And I was there.
He was there. What is your takeaways on that game? And just the Islanders this past week as a whole, cuz they were on a 2-game win streak. They beat the Senators, right? And
Yeah.
who else did they
two
beat?
Games is a streak.
And they beat the Hurricanes.
They did.
That
okay.
was a
oh,
big
yeah.
win.
That
was
a
good
big
win.
That was a great win. Yeah, and then they beat the Senators, and I was like, oh, this team's like, okay, I'll be real. I don't think they deserve to win either of those games.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not. And that was shown in the Kings game, that the hockey that they're playing is not a sustainable brand of winning hockey. It's just too many mistakes for that to happen.
Yeah.
And then you have the line of, you know, Nelson, Lee, and Palmieri just being so consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Anders Lee
he's been really good this
Anders
season.
Anders Lee?
Yeah.
Been amazing. 13 goals. He's now eighth all time in the franchise, surpassing the evil John Tavares. So that was nice to see. He and Brock Nelson are 7 and 8, respectively. They could end the season as 4 and 5 if they maintain their goal paces.
Sorry,
Tucker.
We have our Devils. We just finished our Devils segment. Unfortunately,
could we get a guest? In
yeah, here? Tucker, do you want to?
Could we get?
Do you want to hop in?
Fourth.
He needs a set of headphones, but
I realize that this is very on the fly, but.
Hey, no, this is good. Improv isn't a bad thing. Get a pair of headphones. Get a pair of headphones.
We're talking about
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the Devils.
We'll circle back to the Devils. But keep going on the Islanders.
Yeah, Kevin Fiala played a heck of a game.
Yeah.
His mitts are so silky.
Yeah.
The silkiest mitts. And what a shot. He went bar down. But yeah, the line of 27, 29, and 21 for the Islanders is the most consistent. Until Matt Barzal comes back, I'm not sure that anything's going to change. I'm wearing Noah Dobson's jersey.
How would you assess Noah Dobson's season thus far?
That's the problem, isn't it? Dude, he not only does he seem lacking on the ice, he has no energy in the room. Not no energy, but you can tell he's not very happy with how things are going for him right now. And it's reflected in the way that he's talking about it. He's making a lot of mistakes. George is making mistakes. You just don't, until you have Pollock and Pelech playing regular minutes, that's not going to change.
Yeah. And how do we like segue this to this, like,
What on earth did I just walk into?
Yeah, what's like a walk-up song right now that we could just introduce Tucker Austin to? Because
go with hell.
We just finished our we'll circle back to the Islanders now.
Sure.
Don't worry about it. But as much as I hate the Islanders, we'll get back to it. Tucker Austin, everyone, one of our New Jersey Devils beat reporters. We just wrapped up our Devils segment, but you're here, you know. Just first just tell me how you're doing today.
Well, I'm doing all right. I have a busy day ahead of me. I'm here to interview Lou Orlando, actually, for a digital production new media project. So that is the only reason I'm here. I had no idea this was going on, so I kind of just walked into this. But I got a couple other things to do today, but I'm glad to jump on the show really quick, yap a little bit of Devils. Man, I'm worried about this team.
You got beat on 16 shots, dude.
I'm really worried. I was I watched the game last night, and because when I'm at the arena at the Prudential Center, I have to be pressed. I have to be very neutral. But when I watch at home, I go like super fan mode because it's the only time I can. And oh my goodness, it was like they were allergic to scoring.
Yeah.
I actually don't understand what was going on. They put up more than 30 shots.
Yeah.
And just they scored once,
and
the one goal was nice. Don't get me wrong.
That's
that was a nice feed from Jesper Bratt.
Past two games,
yeah, one
right?
goal at home in the last two games as well.
Yeah.
So, I'm really scared about this team because they have done this at home before, where like the form just kind of goes away when they play at the Rock for some reason. They're really good on the road. They're always road dogs,
mm-hmm.
and I'll continue to call them road dogs. But until they prove to me that they can win games consistently at home, I don't know where this team can go. I'm like really scared. Like, I guess it's early, but like looking down the road to the playoffs, if you only win road playoff games, you need top seed.
Mm-hmm.
Stolarz was
a heck of
a pickup for the Leafs, by the way.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
Oh my god, like he is so he was so good last night.
Yeah.
It was all over the place. He outshined Markstrom, which is hard to do. Night to night.
Dude, is it though? Like,
Jacob Markstrom steps up in the big games.
He's almost like a Georgiev type player. When he locks in, like Markstrom is really good.
Yeah.
But then like another game, he'll just be so loose
and inconsistent.
Like, yes.
He's rocking with a 906 right now.
He steps up in the big games. And last
that
night
was a big game.
Last night was a big game. Yeah, and he did step up for most of the game. I mean, he only faced 16
But the Devils
shots.
Didn't play bad last night.
Okay, to be
That's
fair.
That's what's weird. It's like they played just barely good enough to, like, keep them in the game. But, I mean, you just can't, you have to score more on that many shots. You can't score one goal.
Would you rather a 2-1 loss to the Leafs or to the Blackhawks?
Oh, God, to the Leafs all day. Like, yeah. Blackhawks is just...
it's like a power rankings thing. Anyways, go
ahead. The thing about goaltending, though, is if you get very few shots in a game, you actually... it's worse for you. Like, I prefer getting 30 shots a game.
Oh, easily, yeah.
To 12 or 16, because you get cold. Like, not like physically cold. Like
No, but like cold shooting-wise.
Like, mentally cold, and, like, you're like, not ready, so...
Well, I mean, they were cold, and
but
they're
professional goaltenders. No, they're getting paid millions of dollars. They can lock in. That's not an excuse.
Yeah, and again, he did lock in. He only gave up one goal in regulation. That should be a winning performance.
He should have locked in harder.
That's a winning performance. Come on, and then like also
if it was
Matthews
a winning performance,
open,
there'd be a W next to the Devils.
Tell me a tender in this league who is gonna save an Austin Matthews breakaway in overtime. Like, show me a goaltender who's gonna start. No, just absolutely not.
He was
not.
Terrible this past weekend.
Yeah. He's a goated breakaway goaltender, though.
Yeah, not Igor. Igor can't save a breakaway to save his life.
Like, Austin Matthews on the break, you're not stopping. He stopped Austin Matthews on the break earlier in the game.
I'm just
multiple times.
The overtime highlights were crazy in that game.
Yeah, Markstrom played well enough for the Devils to win, and they couldn't get it done. And that's why I'm nervous about this team, is because, like, they get shots on net, and they get plenty of offensive zone time. They move the puck around really well. But that last step of actually putting the puck in the back of the net, you know, the thing that you're supposed to do in hockey to score, they can't figure out how to do it.
The thing that people pay Jack Hughes
to watch
see.
It. No, they play to
they
watch
pay
him.
Lot. Sorry, they no, people pay to watch him lose. Let's
well,
be real
you know
here.
What? They're playing your Kings. Or not your Kings, I guess.
They are
they your Kings?
And that Jack Hughes quote came after playing the Kings.
In the penalty box. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I mean, the Kings are rolling right now. I saw you got a little bit of sound last night.
Yeah, talked to Kopi too, but it didn't end up going on film, which was cool. Yeah.
Another home game for the Devils. Gotta think they'll score more than a goal.
I don't know. We all said the Devils were screwed.
Yeah.
I think there might be some.
I don't know.
Darcy Kemper's on a heater, dude.
Remains to be seen.
It's crazy.
All right, Tucker.
Actually, with Jake Allen now, he's injured.
Is Markstrom playing tomorrow?
I think so. I mean, the day of rest. He played a good game against the Maple Leafs. Why not run him again?
Who's our other option?
Isaac Poulter is up from Utica.
So it'll be Markstrom in net for the Devils.
Yeah, I'm imagining they're gonna wait for a better matchup to get Poulter in. Yeah. He's gonna have to play one of these days coming up because Allen is hurt, but. Like, you know, I'm excited to see Poulter. From what I've seen from clips of him at Utica, it looks good. I think he was up briefly last season, possibly, maybe for a little bit. But, you know, like I like what I see from the kid. I think he's gonna be a good tender in the NHL one day. But we'll see if he gets a look. I think it'll be Markstrom against the Kings because the Kings are on a heater, so you need him.
Yeah.
And especially at home because now this is two losses in a row on a homestand, and one of them was a shutout again.
Yeah.
So, kind of like need to turn the ship around right now, or we have a problem.
Yeah.
So before we hop back into the Islanders segment, Tucker, I need give me your 30-second elevator pitch about the New Jersey Devils. Ready, set.
What's he pitching?
About just everything.
The Devils in general.
Oh,
yeah, just
okay.
Come on, Nick.
Top six is absolutely electric and can stand the test with any of the top sixes in the entire NHL. But the bottom six is rough. And if the Devils don't flesh out the bottom six going forward for the rest of the season, it's just not going to be sustainable. Because, like, you can match up against good teams, best lines. I mean, we saw it against Colorado. Mikko Rantanen was a non-factor. Nathan MacKinnon, non-factor in the game because of the top line matchups. But, you know, the Devils got shut out and lost because the bottom six popped off for Colorado because the Devils' bottom six can't match up. Defense, way better than last year. Goaltending, way better than last year. So really, I think like the thing that we're honing in on now is that the bottom six has to get better.
Sweet. And on that note, Noah Dobson.
Tucker and Lydia, I know this is a hockey podcast, but it's looking very likely. It's not confirmed.
Kyle.
That, yeah.
Tucker to the Yankees?
Kyle Tucker for Luis Hill. It's not happening, But the,
when did this turn into nosebleeds?
I don't know. It's just
that's
it's
huge.
Interesting. You're
that's
wearing a Yankees.
Huge.
I am
it's
in
not,
full
it's
Yankees
not, it's
gear
not,
right
it
now.
It hasn't happened, but they're saying it's a serious pursuit, and the Astros are very interested.
Do you not like that?
2017 Astros.
Oh, I thought you were saying you didn't want Tucker.
Yeah.
But that's
2017
like,
Astros.
I don't want Kyle Tucker either.
Don't want Bregman either, 2017 Astros.
The New Jersey Devils.
We're on to the Islanders, Nick.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the Islanders. Sorry. I saw the Kyle Tucker thing.
We were talking about Dobson. You were talking about Noah Dobson.
Yeah, he sucks. Sorry. Oh, I shouldn't say that. No, his attitude sucks right now. I like him. Noah, you're doing a great job. Because I know he's on social media a lot, so I don't want him to accidentally listen to this.
Yeah, in case he stumbles across 5-on-3 on Spotify.
Dude, he's on like more than most Islanders. It's been confirmed that he's on social media the most. Like sometimes between periods. I think it's been confirmed that like he's liked some things on Twitter like between periods. Anyway,
can't you like not have your phone in the locker room?
I don't know. Is that the case?
But I think like whenever I go in the locker room, you can see like a herd of like players just standing right outside the locker room on their phone. So that's why I'm thinking it's a rule like the second you step in.
That's
kind of funny.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's tough. But until the two good defensemen come back, it's kind of Romanov versus the world right now. As far as that goes.
But Romanov is a great player.
He is a great. That's why I said it's Romanov versus the world.
Didn't Dobson have a great year last year?
He did.
So yeah.
He did.
What happened?
I mean, it started towards the end of last year, honestly. The first half of last year was awesome. He's just... Look, when he has productive forwards, they make him look really good in the offensive zone because he can give you a ripper, and he has a good pass. But defensively, he just makes a lot of mistakes and doesn't make the best decisions. And that is hurt by the fact when you don't have the best forwards, because those poor decisions are compounded by the fact that the lack of skill hurts you also. So it's a combination of things that's making Noah Dobson not look great right now.
At this point in time, do you think the Islanders are going to make a push for the playoffs?
I mean,
Do you still have faith in them?
Like to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this happens every year.
Yeah, I was gonna say because they made that like crazy run at the end of last.
I was gonna
season.
Ask,
they do, but
the
they
same
do that
thing.
Every year. It's like sure, it's not always like a crazy run like last year, but it's always been like.
And then you get to play the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, it ends up being the last five games of the season. It's like, well, if we win four of the next five. Then it doesn't matter. But then we end up winning like three of the next five, and then we have to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins like lose a game to make sure that we make the playoffs. It's crazy. But that's how it goes. So I'm not willing to rule anything out because Duclair and Barzal are coming back soon. So we'll see what happens then.
Closing thoughts on the Islanders?
Get good, dude. No, they're fine. Anders Lee, you're a beauty. keep doing what you're doing, baby.
Back to back against the Blackhawks this week.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Home and away.
Yeah.
Those pesky Blackhawks.
I'm not worried
never
about
know.
Losing to the Blackhawks. we're not the Rangers.
I said that too, and then, it wasn't.
We're not you, okay?
Yeah, and on that
we
note.
We are not the same.
We actually have a healthy locker room vibe right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Anyways, the
New
York Rangers. So the Rangers are terrible in, like, every facet. But I think instead of, like, just. You know, talking about what happened against the Kraken and the Blackhawks, maybe we should just talk themes with the Rangers rather than, like, break down the specifics of what went wrong. You know, Truba, Mika being a minus 15, Fox having no goals. We could talk about all of that. But let's start with positives here because, you know, let's just get the positives. Let's get going on the right foot.
There's positives?
Igor signed his extension. And that extension, hold on, he has played better.
He's played two games.
Yeah,
that was better than the previous two games. The noise of a contract extension can't be like over.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, hopefully that he was just playing bad or like not as good as he should have been because of the noise. And then now that he has this contract and it's all set in stone, like he can get back to where he was, where he's at his best.
Yeah, I think so too. Because he looked really good. He looked not confident in himself.
Yeah.
For the first. Little bit of the season, and I think it's just because like you have I don't know like almost $100 million like looming over your head trying to figure out if you can get that number, it does weigh on a player. And it was the same situation with Trouba, but the only other positive out of the Rangers these days is, you know, I always have to bring him up. Will Cooley beat his point total from last year in 27 games. Yeah, that's just about all the positives. And let's get into these themes I was talking about. So I think the issue and the struggles with the team goes back into the summer. And there was a whole Larry Brooks interview on Spit and Chicklets. That was actually a really good listen, and pretty much just went into depth on everything that went wrong, has gone wrong so far. And it starts in the summer.
Shout out Biz.
Yeah, the whole situation like with Goodrow. Mm-hmm. Like, is this Chris Drury's fault for like the Goodrow thing?
What do you mean is it his fault?
So the whole Goodrow situation, do you think that hurt the locker room?
Yeah.
What about leaking the Trouba news?
No, Trouba a lot more than Goodrow.
Yeah.
Because the thing was, Trouba said, I haven't been able to lead how I want to because I know the team doesn't want me, and it's affected me on the ice. So do you fault him for, you know, trying to keep the captaincy through all of that? Or should he have been like, look, I know I'm not wanted here.
But if you give up the cap, it doesn't matter if you give up the captaincy.
It doesn't. But at least it would maybe take a weight off his shoulder. But it was only a matter of time before Trouba was shipped off.
Yeah, and he knew that too. So yeah. I think that him, like, they said that if he didn't accept the trade, then they were going to put him on waivers. And I think that's a tough situation. But I think that him, like, ultimately deciding to go is going to – him ultimately deciding to go – helps everyone else in terms of like the cap space, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Yeah.
And I think that it was crazy of them to be like, okay, now that we got that out of the way, here's this Igor extension and everyone's happy now. Because it all happened in the same day, and it was like, I think it was crazy of them to do that. But I don't know.
Tucker?
I mean, they knew they needed to make a move, yeah. Right? And it was probably going to be like a bang, bang. Okay, we got the room, and now we signed Shesterkin. I mean, they were like waiting to sign Shesterkin this whole time.
Yeah,
like chomping at the bit
Kevin
to get
Weeks
this dude.
Dropped it weeks ago.
Yeah, he did. He really did. And I remember the post. It was really funny. But I was also like, for the next 2 weeks, I was like, where's the actual announcement? Because we're still waiting.
There was
for them
reports
to sign
from the locker room that Igor had like refused to accept or. Like announce or decline or what am I trying to say? Molly Walker tweeted that he said that he wasn't gonna say if it was like actually official.
Yeah,
honestly, and this contract
like a couple
was,
days
and,
ago.
Yeah, and
yes,
I was
yes, because
like,
it wasn't at that time. Like they hadn't. He said,
but it was reported.
Yeah, yeah, but so it wasn't official.
I think this contract was drawn up over a month ago.
Yes.
And I think they just waited until they actually had the cap space or had like a respectable enough amount of cap space. Where they said, okay, now you can sign it, Igor. It's like he's just been staring at it in his room for the past month.
Or you wait till you go 2-8 so you can drop Trouba at the same time as you sign Igor and like be like, all right,
you wait
reset.
For a reason.
You
yeah.
Have you, there was like there was like the memes out there, like have you ever seen that like the thing where it's like, oh, who you got like the person got like a kidney transplant. Oh, whose kidney did you take? And it's like, it was like where'd the money come from? And it was like Trouba.
Yeah.
It was just Igor like with his like bag. But yeah, Igor, he took a pay cut. Like he was getting more money somewhere else.
Pay cut.
He was absolutely getting more money somewhere else.
The $11.5 million.
The largest goalie contract in NHL history is a pay cut. Is that a Rangers fan moment?
No, it's the fact moment. That like objectively he would have gotten more money somewhere else.
Like, he probably could have, but it's also the largest goalie contract in NHL history.
But
getting a lot of money anywhere.
You want to know what's crazy about that?
Yeah, you know what? I guess we can't say he took a pay cut because we say this about like a bunch of start. I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me is Jalen Brunson with the Knicks, where he like obviously took a pay cut to get more guys on the team. So. You know, I guess it's respect to Shesterkin for taking the pay cut, but it's also the largest contract for a goalie in NHL history. So I'm not gonna I'm not gonna call it a pay cut. Even though it is, I'm not gonna call it a pay cut just because
Fair
it's
enough.
Also like easily one of the larger contracts on the team.
You know,
yeah, like that difference between 11.5 and 12 is like
in AAV, Jake Oettinger after taxes makes more money than Igor Shesterkin.
Right. Oh, because Shesterkin's gonna get taxed by New York.
But that's like that's gonna, crazy because like, that's
money.
A whole separate argument. Like, should salary caps or should the cap be different based on like your where you're
based
located.
On like income tax.
Yeah,
state?
Like when Winnipeg Jets fans are like huge like activists.
That's why Juan Soto is a Florida resident.
Ooh, is he actually?
Yeah, yeah. if you spend like 100, well, like half the year plus one day, you get taxed as a Florida resident instead of a New York resident. Save like for him, it'll be
ridiculous. It'll be a lot of money. Yeah. And because he's always traveling, to play baseball, like.
Oh yeah, makes sense.
It just works out that with how spring training works in the off season, like, yeah, he'll easily make so much more money just by being Florida resident. That's a good point.
Yeah,
we got to think about that, and that's why a lot of players don't like playing in Canada.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You got to think about that. Like the taxes are
crazy.
And it seems like
that's what I said. That's why Winnipeg Jets fans are like the main activists for this.
And it seems like a players' association thing. Yeah, right. Like the NFLPA or NHLPA rather. In like the next. Round of CBA or something, maybe they could like argue that into it. Who knows? But it would be better for the players. I don't know about if it would be better for the league if you're like changing the cap all the time. Like, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you got Igor. You got he's a core guy. You got him locked up. But there's a lot of other questions with the Rangers core because it was clear that after that loss to Florida last season, Chris Drury was not content with running back this core. The Goodrow, the Trouba, those were the first two dominoes to fall, but pretty much everyone's name, not everyone, half, like most of the team, Drury has been like, there, you can take your pick.
I'm honestly shocked they haven't done something more already. Like they did the Trouba thing, but after the loss against the Blackhawks, I was kind of like, something else needs to change.
So,
waiting for Mika.
Can we play a game? So unmovable.
Can we play a game?
Who's going to want to take on that contract? And he has a no movement clause.
Let's go in a circle thing. Who we think is going to get traded?
Next.
Who's getting traded
for
first?
For the Rangers.
From the Rangers.
I literally said, who's going from the Rangers? I thought this was like, I thought Trouba was like, all right, one and done. Maybe they'll figure it out.
No, there's more.
No, there's got to be more coming. So who's next for the Rangers to get moved?
Yep.
All right. Does anyone? Nick, you suggested. Do you want to go first?
No, I don't want to go first. Actually, yes, I do. Capo Caco.
Oh.
I don't like the fact that he's on the trade block, but objectively,
I don't like
he is at his highest value now, and you actually could probably get a decent return for him because he's played really well.
Because the last couple of years have been really rough for him, and now that he's actually playing some good hockey.
I don't know if I want Drury to trust him in the long-term plans. I don't think he does. I think he sees him as an asset rather than a piece. But, yeah, Tucker, Sophia, you got something?
How about Lindgren or Miller?
Lou says Kreider's a Bruin.
Oh, wow.
No.
Mr. Ranger?
No.
No way.
Guys,
for what? Wait, Lou, what are the Rangers getting in return?
Oh, he's got to step up to the mic real quick.
Kreider is on pace for 36 points this season.
Is that value?
Zero assists.
That might be
that's
value.
Bad. That's bad.
No, that's really bad. That's
Anders,
really bad.
Anders Lee is on pace for more goals than Chris Kreider is for points.
Yo.
We have another guest appearance here. Lou Orlando.
Up, guys?
Hey, Lou.
Listen, you guys are talking about a shakeup. The easiest like move they can make to part from this core, outside of maybe trading Panarin at the deadline, is Kreider. I know that the trading Trouba, that captain, that's a shock, but this entire team knew Trouba was gone at the end of the season. He basically said it during their opening interviews of the season. Mm-hmm. You trade Mr. Ranger, the guy that should be this team's all-time leader in so many different categories. Like, that is, if Dre wants to make a statement, that's the statement right there. There are a million teams. Every team in the NHL would love, or any contender at least, would love to take on that contract.
Who do you want?
I do think he's a Bruin. I haven't looked closely enough at the Bruins roster. I know they're not doing so hot right now. I just know that Jack keeps spouting off about that. It's a Boston guy. And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It
would really break my heart.
Which is, that's what I'm expecting.
Objectively, Kreider has the most tradable contract on the team.
Yeah.
And with the value of the number that he's getting paid and how he's actually a good player, that's like, that's the guy that you can move. More like Mika.
But then what does that do to the locker room?
It's already in shambles, is it not?
Like,
the Rangers have two cores. You're basically saying it's time to run core two. It's time to run
it's time to hand it off to the young guys. Yeah. Every team can go through a
yeah.
a portion like this where they have a like a old core and a young core. Like, look at the Penguins. They're it's, about
it's
to
like
go into
step,
a phase
it's like
of like
one step back to like for like two steps
yeah,
forward.
It's,
in the future.
It's development. Yeah. It's all it is development. It's moving forward. Like, eventually you got to hand it off to yeah. the younger guys because the older guys are not going to stay young forever, you know?
It's
so
it's not the same situation of the
I know
as
that
the
it's
letter.
Like a moot point arguing this, but for them to move Kreider and just Mika just stays there is so infuriating.
Yeah,
like
I completely Mika to waive his no movement clause. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I completely agree, and Lou was just saying it's you have to get Mika to move to waive his no movement clause, and you have to get a team that wants to take on a struggling $8 million center.
Well, we just figured it out. It's Kreider for Geeky.
Morgan
really?
Geeky?
Yeah.
I'd rather his brother, Connor Geeky. I think
Morgan
he's on the Lightning.
Geeky's good, though, dude.
Yeah, no, I like his
And maybe, dude, I don't know, Mason Lowry, too.
I mean, for
no, no, no shot.
Mika's, like the mental thing is definitely the problem with Mika. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been open about it.
Did you hear what Larry Brooks had to say about
yeah.
Mika?
No.
He goes,
oh,
like,
my God.
He
recently?
He basically goes, yeah, like yesterday on that same podcast. He was
oh,
like,
wow.
He's way too sensitive. The criticism from him gets to his head, and it's spiraled. And that, like, it from last season. Because this is the thing he was saying about Zibanejad is the Rangers have totally misused Mika. They brought him over, and now they want him to be a first-line center playing against all these first-line guys, like a Barkov,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Like a Jordan Staal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he doesn't get points because his role is to basically shut those
yeah.
guys down, it gets to fans are like on him about it, and then it gets to his head, and then he never drops it.
So what do you do? Drop him like second line maybe?
Well, he's been the Rangers' third line center
yeah.
these past few weeks.
Oh.
Like minutes
and
wise,
he's
it's
still
been
not
Trocheck,
producing.
He,
like matching up with other third lines.
Yeah, and he's okay.
He's scored
that
a bit.
Could be
he
a
has he has 26 points. The eye test tells other. The first goal that the Blackhawks scored.
Oh my God.
Was just he had time. He had yeah. space. He fanned on the clearance around the boards, and then it ended up on Taylor Hall's stick, who just passed it to Bertuzzi.
At
for
this point, it's
net.
Not only that he's not producing; he's a defensive liability.
Hmm.
Yeah, the arguing point that you can't scratch Mika is he's your top PK guy, but he hasn't been.
But if he can't play defense, he can't be PK.
But why
you
is
know?
The Rangers PK so much better than everything else that they're doing? Like, Cooley scored a shorthanded goal the other day,
Doubt.
And it was the only goal they scored. Why their PK is like second in the league? So why are they so strong on that and they can't defend 5-on-5?
Because they actually have to try.
The Rangers have never been a good 5-on-5 team ever.
That reminds me that the Devils actually the tying goal last night was a shorthanded goal. They coughed up a shorty to the Leafs to send it to overtime, which was really annoying. But
yeah.
you know,
so
back to the Rangers.
Well, yeah, back to the what's your move you want the Rangers to make? Miller Lindgren
out.
Miller Lindgren. Okay, I would say Mika. That's not going to happen because he'd have to waive his no
yeah,
movement.
Yeah, I'm also on the Mika train, but like
realistically though, I think I would like to see Keandre Miller moved because Ryan Lindgren, like
he's
I don't think
hockey.
There's any value to Lindgren. I really don't. Like, I don't know what mm-hmm. you're going to get in return
what's,
for
what's
him.
What's the value on Miller right
I
now?
I think this is the thing about Miller is he seems like he has the pieces. But he really doesn't because he's not an instinctive player because he's only been playing defense for mm-hmm. half his life because
yeah.
he was a forward. Hmm. So when push comes to shove and you're playing against playoff caliber teams or like in the playoffs, when the game, you know, speeds up and you need to have that instinct to make the defensive play, he can't do it because he just hasn't been playing the game for long enough. He's not experienced enough in that position. But he's a great skater. He can move the puck well because he has that forward ability. I think a team that needs, you know, a puck-moving defenseman that you can bury on, like, maybe the second pair and not ask him to, like, quarterback a power play, like, power play two or something, I think that would be valuable for a team come the deadline. Because I have no idea right now. As it looks right now, like, the Rangers have to be sellers at the deadline. But there's still – we have 56 games left this season. Like, or what?
Yeah,
with
plenty
55,
of time.
55, 56.
God, Rangers.
There's plenty of time for them to turn it around.
Delusional, dude.
Like,
I
actually appreciate you saying that because that means, like, we'd be buyers at the deadline, which means
you're
going to
be buyers.
Position.
Yeah, you're not going to.
Nick, that's probably the nicest thing you've ever said about the Rangers.
You are a good hockey team. You just got to figure it out.
I said Thank to you. Myself, though, I looked at the stretch a few games back. I was like, they're playing the Blackhawks, the Kraken. like this stretch is the time to fix these issues because at the end of this month they play Florida, they play Tampa.
Yeah, you guys can beat those they play teams though.
Hurricanes. I don't know. I just
the Rangers can beat any team on any given.
This is the same team that like from last year minus like Eric Gustafson.
Exactly. So how is huge it, locker why room is guy, it different?
Though. Well, that's because your number one center isn't playing like
yeah,
a number
also,
one center.
Also, I think that there's like a lack of fight, a lack of drive for everyone. They were like the best comeback team in the league last year and
they haven't won a single game. Like trailing to the third.
And also, this is a point that I've noticed, and it's not like this is where we're at right now. They've played one overtime game, and they lost that game.
Was that to the opening night against Utah?
Yes.
Yeah, Clayton Keller scored in overtime. They lost 6-5.
Devastating. I watch teams around the league, and everyone has like 4-6 overtime records. The Rangers have played one game in overtime.
You want to hop in on talking about overtime?
It just shows that there's no effort. Once they go down in a game, they can't come back. There's no effort. Why?
So, do you need a spark plug is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Matt Rempe. What about him being on your fourth line? Matt Rempe, objectively, he is not a good hockey player. He changed the culture of the Rangers.
Yeah.
When the Rangers are down 5-1.
Hold on.
When the Rangers are down 5-1.
What a culture.
And Dancing Larry can't even get the fans back at the game. You throw Rempe on the ice, the fans start cheering. Yeah. Like, Rempe
and then a Devils player dies.
And
like,
then you ship your captain to Anaheim.
Okay, but I'm serious. Like what's
Matt
the harm?
Rempe
what's
can
the harm
inject
in trying to like run?
Because
like,
that's not going to win you games.
Yeah, it's not going to fix the like.
But
the
you just talked about low morale and low like you know like not enough
yeah,
energy.
But
which Peter Laviolette like outwardly like questioned the effort of his
but
team.
But is
after
that
going to
fix
game
the room though? That's
I just
want to
see these players.
It's not
fix
the energy
themselves
in the building that matters. Yeah. It's the energy in the room.
Well, how would any of us know that?
Because players don't fight each other because the crowd wants to. It's because they're backing each other up.
But I'm not even talking about
room.
Like I need someone to drop the gloves. Every time, the Rangers' record with Rempe in the lineup is significantly better than with, like, stemming to last year.
But is that because of Rempe, or is it because the other players were actually playing well?
Or is it because the fact that it's a team sport and maybe you do need one spark plug?
But he was playing, like, four minutes a period.
And when he was on those 4 minutes, it got juice into... The building matters. Madison Square Garden is so dead these days. I don't think I've never seen it this quiet, like ever. It's like weird. It's like a library. I'm not even kidding.
It's a library where they're booing.
Yeah, they were legitimately booing last game, and Laviolette was like, "Yeah, I agree. Like when you're not putting the correct pace on the ice, like fans deserve to be booed at." And he said, "And there's no leadership in the locker room right now."
Screw the fans, like.
Well, yeah. I mean, he has to watch his team like in 4K, so I can't like, I can't.
Front row
yeah
seats every night.
Like, that's terrible. Like, you have to watch your team lose to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Season starts tomorrow for the Rangers.
I've been saying that.
Tomorrow. Yeah,
that every game. No, tonight.
Or is it tonight against the Sabres?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Sabres, I believe.
They better not lose to the Sabres.
Let me make sure I get this correct.
Okay, the Rangers are sellers at the deadline if they lose to the Sabres.
They're 0-4-3. Okay.
Buffalo has lost 7 in a row, and the Rangers have lost 8 of the last 10.
You cannot lose to the Sabres.
Buffalo's lost 7 in a row?
7 in a row. It's like a battle of like who's worse right now.
Except one is actually bad, and the other
Dude,
is like fraudulently bad.
Honestly,
the Rangers aren't actually bad. I completely agree with Nick. The Rangers aren't actually a bad team. They're just playing bad for some reason. Like,
Dude,
actually, I liked what you said too. Like, this team with this group of players needs to figure it out.
Yeah,
they like
yeah
bring Rempe up from outside to try and fix it. Is not really gonna
but
like,
I mean, you're
fix the problem.
It's gonna distract them from the problem.
It's the fourth line.
Last year they were coming back and they had no problem coming like before Rempe was even involved.
That's what I'm saying. Eric Gustafson. Yeah.
Dude, a team that's lost 7 in a row is kind of dangerous. I'm not gonna lie.
They're
gonna go out there.
Last year,
the Sabres always play with nothing to lose.
No, last season I watched the Rangers lose to a Flyers team that had lost 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So I have no belief.
Oh boy.
You can only lose so many in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I mean the Rangers don't want to like go on like a strong losing streak, so they'll give their fans like delusion, false hope. Because they played really well against Pittsburgh on Friday.
Started
not really well.
They started the game
better
against the Kraken great too.
They statistically should have won that game 4-1.
But quick,
yeah. Hmm. But and I don't know exactly.
He's
I don't want to say anything bad about Jonathan Quick because he has been such a good Ranger.
Yeah.
But Quick was the reason that the Rangers lost that game.
He's been your best goaltender.
All right, but anyways, who's winning tonight? Rangers or Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Oh God.
That was cool.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with the room because, like, especially because of that Flyers stat from last season, I'm going to go Sabres because, like, I mean, they're chomping at the bit for a win. They're in their own barn. This is, like, an easy trap game for the Rangers to lose.
Every game's been a trap game. It's just, like...
I really hope they win.
Owen Power scoring the goal.
For the sake of Rangers fans' mental health, yes.
Please,
I hope they, like, you know...
I feel like
Mika scores a couple, maybe.
Last year when they would have so many different... like lapses, it would always be like, okay, they lost 4 games and now we're gonna win 10 in a row.
Yeah,
and it was
you guys
like,
did win 10 in
yeah,
a row.
Did, yeah,
but
we
this year I don't
Columbus.
Feel the same
thanks
way.
Thanks to Quick.
That's yeah, Ottawa.
You were with
no,
who?
No,
you were
it was thanks
Connor.
To Connor Mackey.
Connor Mackey.
Yeah, Connor Mackey. I have that video.
Yeah,
that was right
that
in
was
front of me.
So
Barkley Goodrow got in a fight that game.
No. I'm talking about the 10 game winning streak last season.
Yeah, and I'm talking about how Jonathan Quick got it started in Ottawa.
Yeah.
On a beautiful Saturday night, 7 p.m. puck drop in Ottawa.
He's your best goaltender.
All right, enough of you. Anyways, yeah, the Rangers will look to not extend the poor play, and hopefully this Sabres will be on an 8-game losing streak at about 9:45 tonight. But anyways, it's finals week. That'll do it from us here in the Rose Hill studio for, oh boy, Nick Palmer, Tucker Austin, Sophia Smith, Lou Orlando's back there. He hopped on for the bit. And our producer, Gabby Price. I've been Lydia Perner. 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports.